Amen. Glad everyone is back this evening. So glad to see everyone. Hope all the fathers today had a great Father's Day. We'll be taking your Bible and turning to James chapter 1. James chapter 1 will be our text for the evening. We'll get to that in just a moment. Want to remind everyone about our visitation meeting immediately following services and what few college students we have here this evening. Let's remember our devotional tomorrow night. Let everyone else know about that as well. James chapter 1. Won't you begin reading with me in verse 17? Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like unto a man, beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. If any man among you seem to be religious, and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. We learn here in this passage that if a man is to be a doer of the work, he must do several different things. We want to remember them tonight by beginning all of them with an R. First of all, he must recognize the source of his strength. If a man is to be a doer of the work, he must recognize the source of his strength. Next, he must reflect the image of the Almighty. He must reflect the image of the Almighty. He must receive the instruction of the word. He must remember what he was. He must respond to what he has read or heard, and he must reveal his righteousness. Well, first of all, tonight, if any man be a doer of the work, he must first recognize the source of his strength. Verse 17, look at this again. And every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. You know, there are several examples to which we can go to find how not to remember the source of one's strength and recognize the source of one's strength. In Daniel 4 and verse 30, we read of Nebuchadnezzar going out upon his balcony, so to speak, in Babylon and standing out and looking over the great city. And he says to himself, "Is not this great Babylon, which I have built for a royal dwelling by my mighty power?" You see, he failed to recognize the source of his strength. He failed to recognize that God had a hand in it whatsoever. And so he received a punishment. He went and ate grass in the fields just as the beast did. Nebuchadnezzar then remembered, realized, recognized who the source of his strength was. That God indeed did have a hand in the kingdoms of men. Another bad example of recognizing the source of our strength is the rich but foolish farmer in Luke chapter 12, 15 to 21. He had planted his fields and he had grown such a tremendous crop. He was going to reap such a tremendous crop that he decided to tear down his old barns, which were full already, and he wouldn't be able to hold everything that he was fixing to harvest, and said, "I'll tear these down and build bigger barns," that he said that I might be able to take my ease. Well, he failed to recognize the source of his strength. He failed to recognize that God had a hand in it whatsoever. We also have the example of Herod's violent death in Acts chapter 12, 21 through 23. If you remember, Herod went out and made this great speech, and the people looked upon him, thought because of how his clothes sparkled or the things that he had on, that this was some God that spoke unto him, and he failed to give God the glory. And you remember, he was eaten with worms. He suffered a violent death because he failed to recognize the source of his strength. In Psalm 46 and verse 1, we see that the Lord is our refuge, he is our strength, and he is our helper. The Lord is the source of our strength. My friend, we must be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Ephesians 6 and verse 10. We must recognize the source of our strength. We must realize that when good things happen, why they do? It's because God allows them to. He has blessed us, as we talked about this morning, with every spiritual blessing. Every spiritual blessing is found where? In Christ. And so if we're in Christ, we can be assured of our salvation. We can be assured of being redeemed by His blood. We can be assured that we are near unto God. And many other things that we listed this morning, we can be sure of those things because He is the source of our strength. And He gives us that strength through His Word. But number two, if a man be a doer of the work, if he's going to be a doer of the work, he must reflect the image of the Almighty. Verses 18 through 20, let's notice those verses again. Speaking of God, of His, God's own will, begat He us with the word of truth, that He should be a kind of first fruits of His creatures. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath, for the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. So if we are to be doers of the work, we must reflect the image of the Almighty. My friend, we are made the righteousness of God. Let's turn to 2 Corinthians, keeping a finger here in James chapter 1. Let's turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Let's notice verses 17 and 21. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. If we drop down to verse 21, we see how this works. For He hath made Him to be sin for us. He, being God, hath made Him, that is Christ, to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. You see, we are to reflect the image of the Almighty. We are to be righteous. He has made us righteous. We are made the righteousness of God. Ephesians 2 and verse 10 says that we are His workmanship. He has made us anew when we obey His gospel. And so we are to reflect His image. What does the name Christian mean anyway? It means to be Christ-like, right? It means to put Christ on. It means to be Christ-like. If we are to be like someone, what are people to see through us? Christ, right? If we are to be like Christ, they are to see Christ through us. And the only way to do that is to act like Christ. It is to be as much like Him as we possibly can, and so we must reflect the image of the Almighty. If any man be a doer of the work, number three, he must first receive the instruction of the Word. Notice verse 21. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted Word, which is able to save your souls. Receive with meekness. So if we're going to be doers of the work, we must first receive the instruction of the Word. In Mark chapter 4 and verse 20, we see that the good soil there hears the Word and receives it. The good soil is going to receive the Word. Are we good soil? Are we the type of soil that's going to receive the Word and do what we need to do with it? Let's turn to John chapter 6. Again, keeping a finger in James chapter 1. Let's turn to John chapter 6. Notice verses 63 and 68. John 6, beginning in verse 63, it is the Spirit that quickeneth, that is, makes alive. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Notice verse 68 as well. Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. Thou hast the words of eternal life. So we find there that we must first receive the instruction of the Word because the Master has the words of life. Where do we find those words? Find them in the Word, right? We find them written, recorded there for us in God's Word. And so we must first receive the instruction of God's Word. We mentioned this morning, how can we believe on something of which we've never heard? We can't. We must first hear His Word. And so if we're going to be doers of the work, we have to receive then instruction, don't we? We have to see what God wants us to do. We have to go to His book and read those words, receive them. But next, if any man be a doer of the work, he must first remember what he was. Notice verses 22 through 24 of James chapter 1. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any man be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is likened to a man beholding his natural face in a glass, for he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. So if we're going to be doers of the work, we can't be like that man that beholds his face in a glass and then forgets what manner of man he was. We must first remember what we were. We must remember what the Lord has done for us in delivering us from sin. We were sinners, right? We were sinners. After obeying the gospel of Christ, what does the Bible refer to us as? Saints, the saved, the church, we're no longer sinners. We're not to be sinners any longer. See, sinners are in the business of sinning, right? Christians shouldn't be in that business. We're going to slip. We're going to stumble from time to time, yes. We're human. We're going to fall. But we shouldn't be in that business. We must remember what the Lord has done in delivering us from that sin. Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. Let's look at verses 1 through 3. And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sin, wherein in time past he walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and the mind, and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. That is, you notice he said there in time past. We are no longer. He has quickened us. He's made us alive who were dead in trespasses and sins. You see, God, Jesus, came to this earth to deliver us from that sin. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. Staying in Ephesians, turn to Ephesians chapter 5. Notice verse 8. Ephesians 5 and verse 8 says, for ye were sometimes darkness. They were dead. They weren't alive spiritually, but notice in the rest of the verse. But now are ye light. Ye are light in the Lord, it says. But now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. So he's made us alive. He has forgiven our debt. He has taken on that debt so that we may have life. So that we may have life in Christ. So if any man be a doer of the work, he must first remember what he was. You see, if we don't realize what we are as sinners before obeying the gospel of Christ, then we can't really know what the truth is, can we? We must remember first what we were, what we are. If we are in a state before obeying the gospel of Christ, we're sinners. But you see, Jesus has come to this earth. He has suffered and died for our sins, that we might have life, that we might be children of light. Then number 5, if any man be a doer of the work, he must first respond to what he has read or heard. So he must receive the instruction of God's word. When he's received that instruction, he must remember, he must come to the realization that he is in sin, and then he must respond to what he's read or heard. Notice verse 25, James chapter 1. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, that is the gospel, the law of liberty, referring to a different law than that of Moses, the law of liberty referring to the gospel, the perfect law of liberty, the complete law there, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. So once we receive the instruction of the Word, once we've come to the realization that we're living in sin, I must then, if I'm going to be a doer of the work, I must then respond to what I've read or heard. My friend, we read of what will take place on that last day. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 7, again keeping a finger here in James chapter 1. Matthew chapter 7. Let's see what's going to happen on the day of judgment. Beginning in verse 21 of Matthew chapter 7. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And every man that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened to a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. We read here, basically, of what's going to happen on the day of judgment. Notice verse 21, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Verse 22 says that they did in his name they did many wonderful works. They cast out demons and so forth and so on, but they did not the will of the Father. That's the obvious answer. Because in verse 21, he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven, not everyone that says, Lord, Lord, is going to enter. These were religious people that Jesus is talking about here. People that claim to be doing the will of the Lord, but they're not. Only those that do the will of the Father will enter into the kingdom of heaven. Otherwise, it doesn't matter what we do in His name, does it? We must be sure that we're doing the will of the Father. So we read there what will take place. 1 Timothy 4 and verse 16. We read there that we must continue in the doctrine. It's not something that we do just once, but we must continue in the doctrine. We must walk in the light as He is in the light, we read in 1 John. Walk in the light as He is in the light. That's continuing in the doctrine. Continuing in the teachings of the apostles and of Jesus Christ. So once we receive that instruction, once we remember and come to the realization as to living in sin, we must then respond to what we have read or heard. Must respond to it. But then finally, once we've responded, we must, if we're going to be a doer of the work, we must reveal our righteousness. Notice verses 26 and 27 of James 1. If any man among you seem to be religious, and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. We learn here that if we're going to reveal our righteousness, if we're going to reveal that we are true followers of God, we must exercise control over the tongue. Verse 26 says there, if any man among you seem to be religious, then bridleth not his tongue. That man's religion is vain. He deceives his own heart. My friend, we must learn to control our tongue. We must learn to think about the effect of our words before we use them. Also, we see there that we must provide relief for those in need. Verse 27, pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction. The word there, visit, does not simply mean to go say, hey, how you doing? But rather it is to go and to see to their needs, to be sure they're cared for. Coincidentally as well, the word there, fatherless, does not simply mean an orphan. The Greek word means without a spiritual guide, not necessarily just one without a parent. If a child does not have a spiritual guide in his home, he ought to be able to find one. We ought to be there to show him the way. So visit the fatherless and the widows. My friend, we must provide relief for those in need. This is what separates the sheep from the goats, as we read in Matthew chapter 25. You remember Jesus lists all these things that people had done for those that were less fortunate than them. And Christ tells them at the end, when they ask the question, when have we done all these things? Christ says, as much as you have done it to one of these, you've done it unto me. But you remember the goats. They wanted to know why, or when, rather, that they had seen Christ in any of those states. Christ's response was, inasmuch as you have not done it unto one of these, you have not done it unto me. You see, we must provide relief for those in need. Also, it's how one proves the validity of one's faith. There in James chapter 2, verses 14 through 26, we read there, beginning in verse 14, what doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works, can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked, that is, they don't have adequate clothing for the conditions, and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? What does it profit? They don't get any food. They don't get the coat that they need when it's wintertime. What does it profit? You may say you have faith, but do you have the works to go along with that faith? No. How else are we to know that one has faith unless we see his works? If one has faith in God, we will see the works of that faith, won't we? My friend, we must let our light shine before men. Matthew 5:13 through 16. We must let our light shine. Are we doing that today? Are we letting our light shine before men so that they will see and glorify God through us? Are we doing that? We'll be putting away your Bible, taking out your songbook. We're ready to sing the invitation song in just a moment. My friend, the simple question tonight is, are you a doer of the work? Are you a doer of the work? My friend, the answer to that question is no, why not? Why are you not a doer of the work? Why are you not working in the kingdom of the Lord? Do you have that desire? Do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God? Do you believe it enough to repent of your sin, to confess Him before men and to be baptized for the remission of those sins, and then live faithfully? Are you willing to do those things? Are you willing to do those things to be a doer of the work in the kingdom of God? I hope that you are. And I hope that you'll make that decision tonight. It may be that you're here and you've done those things. But have you forgotten to go to work? Have you been out of work? Will you come home? Will you be a worker once more? My friend, if you have a need, will you come now while we stand and while we sing?